These are two people who value money and power over morality. Both of their adult lives have been mired in scandal after scandal. They have been masters of deception, hiding and destroying evidence, as Hillary did in erasing 30,000 emails and then claiming there is no evidence. Of course not. She destroyed it. The evidence escaped them one time, and that was when Bill Clinton looked at the American people on national television and denied that he had sex with that woman, White House intern Monica Lewinsky. For her part, Hillary then called Lewinsky a Looney Tune and tried to dig up dirt on her as she had with all of the other conquests of her husband. The evidence that time could not be controlled by the Clintons. Lewinsky produced the blue dress with Bill Clinton's DNA all over it. That led to the Bill Clinton lying under oath and losing his law license. Hillary has also lost her ability to practice law. But we need not feel sorry for them. They left the White House with some $200,000 worth of furnishings they took with them. And they got large advances for books they wrote, millions of dollars. The theft of White House furnishings and paintings led to them being forced to return the looted items. This is the history of Bill and Hillary Clinton. They are amoral. Lies come to them like rice on a Chinese buffet. The question then is, who keeps supporting these rascals? Is the character of those supporters any better than the Clintons themselves? Knowing all of this, how can a God-fearing person vote to put Hillary Clinton into the White House? How can they sleep at night? It's a question each of Hillary's voters will have to live with for the rest of their lives and to try to explain to their creator. Now, that's what I was writing to deliver next Monday. And then it hit the fan. First, Director Comey, who I have great admiration for and who was in an extremely tough position, he came out and said, we're not going to recommend indictment of Hillary Clinton. I was listening to it. Ann and I were driving home from the mountains. I was listening to the broadcast. And he said, all of the things that indicated an indictment. He said that she had been grossly negligent. Actually, what he said was that she had been extremely negligent. Now, let me read you the criminal statute. It says, whoever being entrusted with national security documents through gross negligence permits the same to be removed from its proper place of custody shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. It's a felony to do what she did. And Comey first laid it out to us as if he was going to recommend indictment, and then he pulled up short and said, we're not going to prosecute. I don't think it could be proven. Well, a lot of prosecutors have come forward and said, oh, yes, we would have taken that case in a heartbeat. But first, Hillary said it was Bill's private server, Bill Clinton's. Then she admitted paying a State Department employee to install it in her mansion. This guy took the Fifth Amendment twice rather than rat out Clinton. Then her aides, Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, were questioned by the FBI, but they couldn't remember anything. They couldn't recall anything. You remember Sergeant Schultz from the old Hogan's Heroes episodes? I know nothing. That's basically what they said. Now, she said, Hillary, that she did not send or receive any email classified as such. First, she said, she didn't send any email that was classified. Then, when called on that, she said, no, I mean that was marked classified. But the FBI reports that she said that she sent and received many classified emails as well as top secret emails. It was a lie. She repeated it over and over. She said, I turned over all emails to the government. That, too, was a lie. Was it just maybe two or three that she overlooked? No. Some 2,000 were later found during the FBI investigation that had not been turned over by Hillary Clinton. By email, Hillary instructed the State Department not to put confidential headings on emails to her. Then she tried to say that none of her emails had confidential headings. Well, why would they have confidential headings if you just instructed your employees not to put confidential headings on it? But that was a lie, too, because they were sent out with confidential headings. Hillary Clinton committed a felony. Comey said, the FBI director, that she was extremely negligent. That, folks, is gross negligence, and that's covered by the statute that could give her as much as 10 years in jail. James Comey, the FBI director, will appear before Congress on Thursday to try to explain why he first laid out why this woman has to be indicted and then said, but we're not going to do it. Two rules, folks, one for the Clintons and one for the power elites and another for you and me and the rest of America. Bill met with Loretta Lynch. Hillary then said that she was 100% sure she would not be indicted. Then Lynch says, all of a sudden, she'll accept the recommendation of the FBI. Then on Monday, Comey's announcement that Hillary and Obama were on Air Force One within an hour or so of that announcement. No way in the world would Hillary Clinton have been on that airplane with Barack Obama if the fix was not in, if they did not know that she was going to be not recommended for indictment. Sidney Blumenthal is a shadowy character in Hillary's past. He has served as her guru. Now, Blumenthal's server was hacked. The FBI found that out. Hillary's email address was on those emails. Russia, China, North Korea, or any other number of enemy countries could easily hack into her email server, and no doubt in my mind, they did. No doubt in my mind, that top secret information rests with our enemies. National security was at stake, and Hillary Clinton was dangerously negligent. She even sent out emails on her unsecured server while she was in these enemy countries, China and Russia. Now, if that's the experience we're looking for to be president, Lord help us. The email server was set up to allow Hillary Clinton to control any evidence that might later incriminate her. That's been a constant with the Clintons, and the mainstream media is refusing to even address the point. For the Clintons, it's lie, delay, destroy evidence, and then call on the liberal mainstream media and liberal Democrats to hide the truth and refocus the attention back on something else. Folks, this is serious business. I hope you will treat it as serious business. And we've got to, as a people, rise up and say, no, no, we're not going to have elites running this country. And the rest of us are their little poodle dogs trotting along behind them. We have got to demand term limits to get these leeches out of Washington. We have got to stand up and say, this is enough. This is egregious. Now, Ayn Rand said this some time back. Ayn Rand being a columnist and a philosopher. She said, quote, when you see that in order to produce, you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing. When you see that money is flowing to those who deal, not in goods, but in favors. When you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws don't protect you against them, but protect them against you. When you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed. That from Ayn Rand in 1957. She pegged the corruption in Washington directly. And this is not, in my mind, a Republican or Democrat problem. This is an American problem. Our party system is screwed up to the max. They cover for one another. They have the dirt on one another. Believe me, folks, all of the bones that are hidden in Washington are known by both parties. And so they cover for one another. That's why you'll see the Republicans move on this, because it is so egregious that they have to. But they're not going to be as strong as we need them to be. They haven't ever been. You know, we say, well, let's go change things. Let's put somebody else in. We did that. Now, we didn't have the presidency. Barack Obama, rest his soul, got there. But we had Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, so I shouldn't say we. I'm an independent. But the Republicans held both the House and the Senate. They could have stopped many of these travesties of the Constitution that Barack Obama has brought upon us, but they didn't. When the Democrats controlled the Congress for 40 years, they didn't make the changes necessary. The Democrats, when Obama was elected in 2008, had both the Senate and the House in Democrat hands. They had the White House in Democrat hands. They could have done anything they wanted to do. Now, today, you see those Democrats sitting around on the House floor whimpering like little babies about gun control. Why we don't have more gun control laws. They had the House, the Senate, and the presidency from 2008 to 2010, sat on their fannies and did nothing about those gun control laws. Folks, 60 people were shot in Chicago over the July 4th weekend. 60 people. Five of them died. Chicago has the toughest gun laws you can enact. Gun laws aren't going to make a whit of difference. Criminals do not go to the gun store and submit to background checks. You can put all those laws in you want, but they're not going to go and submit to background checks. They're going to buy their guns on the street. They're going to steal them. They're going to wait for another Eric Holder to gun run down to Mexico so that those guns can show up in their hands. We have a mess in Washington. And in some ways, this issue with Hillary Clinton and her emails and all the flack that it's now receiving, in some ways, that's good, because it calls attention to how bad things are in Washington, D.C. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, contact your congressman or congresswoman. Contact the senators. We have two in North Carolina. But you don't have to stop there. You can contact Paul Ryan, who's the head of the House, or Mitch McConnell, head of the Senate, to insist that the people of this country be elevated from the lower floor and the elites in this country be brought down from the top floor. We don't have to tolerate this. And I hope that each of you will stand by and do something about it. And in November, we're going to have an opportunity. You're not being asked to take a bullet or to march against an army like the British brought to our patriots in 1776. You're not being asked to do that. All you're being asked to do, all I'm being asked to do, is to get informed. Be serious about who you're going to vote for. Let me tell you something. We've got two options. Now, you can say, well, but I like so-and-so. That doesn't matter. So-and-so is not in the race. We're going to elect either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, period. One of the two. And some people say, well, I don't like either one. You don't have to love everything about them, but you need to look at them, at their history. And to my mind, and this is the way I'm going to vote, this is the way I'm going to financially support, there is no way that Hillary Clinton can match up to Donald Trump. No way. The woman is corrupt to her very core. She was on today ranting and raving about how, I think she was in Atlantic City, but she was ranting and raving about how Trump had some casinos that had to take bankruptcy. My friends, we're not asking Donald Trump to come in and run some casinos. We're asking him to come into the White House and bring us jobs, build our military back up from the debacle Obama has left us, get our security secure by stopping the illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is illegal. That's what the word means. That's what we need a president to do. I'm not interested in whether Donald Trump is real great at running casinos. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to take the gamble with Hillary Clinton. Carl?
Well, Tom, I certainly appreciate you coming in today, and I want to tell you the sound was just awesome. We're on Skype, and a lot of people don't understand that. Instead of broadcasting over telephone lines, we're broadcasting over the Internet, and so that's why it's a lot clearer, has more dynamics in the sound, more bottom end, more mid-range, more upper frequencies, and it just sounds absolutely great. Sounds like you were right here in the studio with me,
great,
Tom, and so I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you would like to leave with the people of WTSB to digest this afternoon?
Well, Carl, I would honestly hope that we can get beyond this Republican-Democrat argument, all of us. I mean, how long have we had that going on? How long have both sides been giving the shaft to the people? We've got to get beyond that. I know I talk to people who say, well, but I've been a Democrat. You know, my granddaddy was a Democrat. Well, if your granddaddy was here today, he'd be spinning around. This isn't the party that you think or thought it is. This is a corrupt organization. Now, the Republicans aren't a heck of a lot better, but they're better. I could sit here and name you the corrupt individuals in the Democrat Party. These are not conservative Democrats, just like we have a lot of here in North Carolina. These are people like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and then you get into Nancy Pelosi, and you get into Harry Reid, and you get into Elijah Cummings, and we could just go on for a half an hour with the devious people that have hijacked the Democrat Party. And we talk about these Islamic militants who have hijacked Islam. That may be true. I don't know. All I know is I don't want them in this country, meaning the illegal and jihadist movement. But aside from that, We're sitting here arguing with each other over semantics. People are not focusing on how very serious this letdown by Hillary Clinton was, and in looking out for her own fanny, and it's ample, but looking out for her own fanny, she was willing to put national security at great risk. We don't know today which countries, if any, hacked into her email. But it stands to reason that if they hacked into Sidney Blumenthal's email, and she was sending him email, and he was sending her email, and her email address is right there, you don't have to be a genius to hack into her computer and today be holding the top secrets of American foreign policy. This is really, really serious business. And I hear people saying, and Barack Obama just said, she's the most qualified. She's the most experienced. Experienced in what? She slept with a president, but then a whole lot of other people slept with the same president. She then went on to take on health care. She screwed that up by trying to be so secretive that everybody abandoned her, including Democrats. So then she moves on out into the Clinton Foundation. We know what's happened with that and all of the graft and money that's coming in. They spend 10 cents out of every dollar on charity. The rest of it is a piggy bank. But from there, she runs against Barack Obama. She loses. She wasn't able to capture the presidency. But she sat down with Barack Obama at the end there and made a deal. I'll drop out and I'll throw support to you. You name me Secretary of State. And after you go out, you support me for the presidency. Anybody who doesn't think that is true is just playing with their ear. This is the kind of politics we've had in this country for so many years. And again, I'm going to say Republicans aren't a hell of a lot better, but they are better than what we have now. And so, Carl, I just hope people will put aside party affiliations and think about what's best for this country. If we put Hillary Clinton in place to use her devious, lying skills in the Oval Office, the Clintons are going to become that much richer with all of the speaking engagements and all of the little deals that you make with some country that gives you $150 million, and you suddenly find it in your power to grant them what they were asking for. This is serious, serious business, folks. And the next president, and I'll wrap it up, Carl, the next president is going to be putting in place anywhere from one to as many as five Supreme Court justices. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if Hillary is elected and she nominates Loretta Lynch for the Supreme Court. But if we let them pack it with these liberal judges that want to legislate from the bench, we deserve what we get. Do vote in November. Do put some thought on it. Don't be moping around because your candidate didn't win. That's life. Get over it.
Tom, earlier today we got a telephone call in here from, help me remember, Chris. Someone said that the president had wanted to do away with the Statue of Liberty because it was offensive to the Muslims coming into this country. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not true, but assuming it was true, can you think we have drifted into a position now that I never, never thought we would be in? And can you imagine destroying the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, I've seen that a couple of places on the internet, Carl. I don't believe that's true. I'm going to check it out. I mean, we have to be, you know, we have to be as balanced as we can. I detest Barack Obama, but truth is truth, and I just can't believe that one is true. And hopefully, we're going to be rid of this son of a gun, before very long, if we don't put another son of a gun in there behind him. But I don't, I'll check that out and I'll have it on Monday. I'll clear that up. But I find that really hard to believe. Now, I don't find it hard to believe that he would like to do it, but I find it hard to believe that he would suggest it.
Okay, Tom, have a great day. Thank you for a great commentary, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Carl, and God bless America.